started? Are we on the record?
Yes, we are.
All right. So this is the July 1st, 2021 Public Safety Committee meeting. This meeting is being held in accordance with Public Act 101-0640 and the Gubernatorial Disaster Proclamation issued by Governor Pritzker due to the COVID-19 pandemic. In attendance here at City Hall, we have Alderman Milshewski, Alderman Turoulis, Alderman Merrick, Chief Jensen, Deputy Chief Fizemeyer, and Sergeant Carlisle.
Yes.
And Marilis is taking our notes today. We have an amendment to the agenda. Is that correct, Chief?
Yes, please.
We want to move PS 2021-16 to number 1 under the new business.
If we could.
Do we have any objections to that?
Nope.
Do we have any additions to the Public Safety Committee meeting agenda tonight that we would like to discuss?
No.
No? Okay, then I guess we will get started. And what I see first is the minutes for correction or approval from the March 4th, 2021 Public Safety Committee meeting. Does anyone have any comments, additions, corrections for the minutes of that particular meeting?
No.
No? Okay, so those will be approved and presented. Then we will move to the CIT presentation as it's been moved forward to item number 1 on the agenda.
So I'm going to turn it over to Bear and Garrett. They have they've been working hard, kind of putting some stuff together, and there's some pretty exciting news that actually some really good information, some pretty startling statistics, and some exciting news about a program we're going to be doing in August, a community program for the entire program itself. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys.
Awesome. So this program really started up at the beginning of this year. So last year, Garrett and I spent a lot of time trying to implement what it was that we wanted to see with a crisis intervention team that focused on mental health, but also focused on our developmentally delayed individuals, whether it be those that have Alzheimer's or those with autism. And we wanted to figure out what we could do to reach those communities. Going over some numbers, we're directly at the halfway point of the year. And the numbers are a little higher than I expected for mental health calls. Currently, we are sitting at 77 for the year, and we're at the 6-month point. So, you know, we're on track for close to 150 if things keep up, which is pretty intense there. So, going over the statistics, I feel like these don't lie, and these really show proving points about how well our officers are doing with this program. If somebody needs to go to the hospital for a mental health crisis, we've got a voluntary committal or an involuntary committal. If it's involuntary, that means us as police officers are doing the petition because these individuals are not able to care for themselves and they have to go before a mental health professional. So ultimately, we are telling them, you know, you don't have a choice per law and per what we're held to union to of the hospital. We've had 18 of those this year. Some of those also include, I believe we've had 4, where a judge has signed the paperwork mandating us, as if it were like an arrest warrant. You need to take this person to the hospital, and these are the guidelines for it. We've had 31 voluntary committals. And when I go over voluntary, that's pretty much going to encompass this person's going through a mental health crisis, and maybe in that gray area where we can't really say we need to fill out the petition paperwork, all this. But our officers, by talking to these individuals, are going, you know, I do need to go see somebody. And they'll voluntarily get in that ambulance or go wherever they are and seeking that help. A lot of that, there's been several instances where the officers go, you know what, there were certain things, after speaking to this individual for 20, 30 minutes, that's all it took. And they were ready to voluntarily go, which is pretty cool. Well, I mentioned all of this, all of those committals. One fact that I think speaks just numbers of our people is that we've had one response to resistance report, meaning what you can consider a use of force for these incidents. While I say that, going, okay, we use force, for our use of force criteria, it is even if you point a less than lethal object at somebody. So we've got tasers, we've got beanbag shotguns, we've got things such as that. This one specific incident, not to go into much detail, was a call that we refer to as suicide by cop, where the individual wanted law enforcement to take their life. Our officer, his use of force was raising a less lethal shotgun, not having to deploy it, because they were able to safely do this, and the individual was able to be transported. So we did not even have to lay a hand on this person, but that was still, per our policy, our use of force. So I think that speaks wonders just of the way that our guys have handled the calls, men and women.
And just so you guys are aware, previously we also dealt with that same individual, and he did have a handgun on him previously too. So the response and the plan that our patrol officers had responded to this particular call was trying to take the totality of the circumstances of what you have, knowing what the history was, and really trying to make sure that we're approaching it the safest way possible to not only protect the individual, but protect the officers.
And the family that was present as well. So that's going to be some of our crisis intervention statistics. We've also got some stories, Garrett and I want to go over some really good feel-good moments as well. Our Citizen at Risk program, it was implemented, we really got it up and running this year, kind of starting February. Currently we have 25 individuals registered for that, which to me is great. A lot of them are youth with autism. We've got some youth with Down syndrome as well. But we also have some individuals that have Alzheimer's as well. So it's really neat that while we do our follow-ups, which we're kind of averaging every other month, where some families just say, no, I just want to report just in case my child was missing. They don't want that constant interaction. And some love it where every other month we go and engage with the kid and set positive law enforcement thing. One of the cool follow-ups last week, I told Officer Hart, who was going to follow up at a house where there was actually two registrants. One was a 12-year-old boy with Down syndrome, and one was the grandmother who had Alzheimer's. And I'm like, Robbie, let's go. I need to get out of the office. I need to stretch my legs. Let's go do this. So we went down there. As I got out of the car, he's walking up with a box of Dilly Bars from Dairy Queen. I'm like, ice cream? Don't mind if I do. So we go into this house, right? And all of a sudden, we spent a half hour. And it was so cool because we got the mom, we got the older brother, we've got grandma, and we've got the little boy that we were there to see, and grandma. And just to see the way our officers communicate, and just to spend a half hour just knowing that Officer Hart called up ahead of time, talked to stepdad, said, you know, this little boy loves ice cream. So just bringing down a box of Dilly Bars, you know, out of his own pocket. I thought it was cool just that half hour and just the follow-up. And it was neat to see that positive interaction. Before I mention our special event, August, I know Garrett's got a couple feel-good moments too.
Just a few things that I kind of wanted to communicate to you guys I thought was interesting is that in our tracking of our crisis intervention interactions with the citizens, this past month we had 20. So it has ticked up every month so far this year, and this past month was the most that we've come in contact with so far. So this doesn't show any signs of slowing down, and I'm really glad we got this program up and running when we did, because it couldn't be honestly a better time for our officers to be trying to implement what we're working on here. You know, folks are a little stressed out right now, and it just, you can tell it in the stats of what we're going through. So we got really lucky in when we chose to implement this, because it couldn't be a better time for us. You know, a few of the stories, it's just we had an autistic 11-year-old who was just having a rough day. One of the things that we've been taught through our training is that they are attracted to water. She was down with her legs in the water, just having some difficult thoughts and stuff like that. And our officers immediately kind of went down to that area. There are some citizens down there. They were able to locate her and make sure she got the help that she needed. It was funny because one of our part-time officers had sent me a news article from an agency in close to the city where they lost a young citizen because the officers just didn't have that information. And they weren't able to respond into the appropriate areas, and you know, who knows what could have come, you know, who knows what could have come of that, but he just said, hey, isn't this fitting that, you know, all these agencies are dealing with this, and this is really important information for someone's young loved ones or whatever. So I was happy to see that officers are really applying that on the street. One of the things that I kind of wanted to mention to you guys, too, I thought was really neat, was that this has stemmed into all the other facets of, like, our calls for service that I didn't really expect. When, you know, you try to teach a police officer something new, and they're super skeptical about it because it's new and different, and that's just kind of in our DNA, I guess. But once these guys have actually taken it to the interactions that we've had with the citizens and they've seen how positive the outcomes can be, I've noticed it almost every day where they've applied it to just every portion of what they're doing. So I know we're talking about CIT and our Citizens at Risk program, but those techniques that those guys are learning and sharpening with these citizens, they're applying to all of our other calls for service. I watch these guys take these techniques when you've got a upset citizen at their neighbor, or you've got a driver that doesn't want to get out of their car for whatever reason, and not too long ago you would see it escalate super quick, and now you're seeing these guys take these techniques and use them on citizens who start out they don't like us, and by the end of it, you know, we're not seeing those responses to resistance that we would have a few years ago. So it's some of the benefits from this are starting to kind of branch into things that we never would have anticipated. And the last one real quick, I know you guys got a lot, but one of our officers was in Jewel not too long ago, and a young guy came up to him that was autistic, and he was fascinated with his badge. And the officer spent 20 minutes with him, took his badge off, let the kid play with it, but he understood that he was kind of stimming and attracted to his shiny badge. And I thought it was neat because these guys are really starting to understand the behaviors of folks that maybe they wouldn't otherwise understand because they just don't interact with them all the time. And so now that we are interacting with them more and more, our guys are a little more comfortable. They're understanding this, and just our interactions with these families are really, you know, turning out great. One of our first families that registered for the CAR program, their son was having some outbursts. And last month we went and talked to him about that, and he wanted, his goal was that if he didn't have the outburst, he wanted to come have ice cream with us and take a tour of the police department. I can't think of a better example of how it's working than that when, you know, a young guy, his reward for behaving well is to come visit the police. In the current environment that we have now, like, I would have never guessed in a million years that his reward that he wanted was to come visit us and go have some ice cream. You know, you look at the news and you wouldn't think that would be the case, but with our town and our citizens, it's been really great. So this has branched out a lot further than I thought it would, and it's been a lot more successful than I thought it would, and guys are buying into it when they see, hey, I could either get in a fight with this person, or I could try to sympathize and understand where they're coming from and give them a few extra minutes, and when they do and they have that success, they're like, okay, I'll do that a lot. And it just, it's starting to speed up, which is great for us. So
one of the cool things really with that 11-year-old girl too is she was nonverbal. And we have had no previous contacts that I know with the family at all. They lived in the area apartment complex. Our officers followed up, and she's now enrolled in our program. So it's awesome.
Yeah. You know, so I'm sorry. And one of the other things, too, is that with our CIT calls, with the crisis interventions, where we have somebody having a mental health crisis, one of the things that we require officers to do is to follow up with every family to make sure that they're aware of the mental health resources that are available in our county. We've got a packet that we handle. And we say, hey, there's anything under the sun here. Substance abuse, therapist, mental health counselors, you name it, the county has resources for you. A lot of these folks already have some sort of professional help in their lives, but what happens is that they're so appreciative that we're taking the time to follow up with them. Some folks take it, some folks don't, but 100% of the time, they're shocked. They're like, wow, you guys actually really care. I'm so grateful that you followed up. Thank you for this. It totally tears down those barriers that folks build up in their mind about what we're doing for the town. And when we follow up for a 10-minute follow-up like that, it totally tears those things down. And it's like clockwork. It happens time and time again. And it's been worth the effort for sure.
Absolutely. So as far as the training, we filled you guys in earlier. To be a crisis intervention officer, it's a 40-hour class put on by the Illinois Training and Standards Board, and encompasses a lot. There's 8 hours of scenario-based things, but a lot of classroom time just learning about mental health, autism, things such as that, PTSD. So much positive feedback I've heard. I've attended the class as well. So our staff are probably going, all right, well, how many do you have in there? So COVID hit the brakes on a lot of stuff, but things are back up and running. We just graduated 4 more through the program in June. So we're sitting at 16 of our 32 sworn officers having CIT. So we're at 50%. Obviously, our ultimate goal is 100%. The state mandate has it, though, that this is such a hot commodity that you have to be a 2-year-plus officer to even be qualified to receive the training. 2 years is usually what it takes for a police officer to get through their probationary phase, 18 months to 2 years. So I think it's more of investing in the cops that are going to be staying in. And also a lot of the things, too, is police academies, I feel, are training their people better than they did than I went, for instances such as this, too. So like I said, we're at 50%. We've got multiple CIT officers on every shift. And our ultimate goal is 100%. So our special event. So one of the things that the three of us have been talking about was, what can we do this summer to reach our kids, our citizens at risk kids? What can we do with community outreach? Things are back open. Let's have some fun. So I reached out to Justine Brummel from Go For It Sports Dome, which is the dome up by Bristol Bay. Justine happens to have a special needs son, and we connected a few months ago. Said, hey, would you be open to letting us have an event at your venue? And she was so excited. She's like, how about this? So we're between YPD and Go For It Sports Dome, we're kind of putting together a special event August 14th, which is Saturday, from 10 to 2, to reach out to special needs families and kind of having an open house kind of thing. So for Go For It Sports Dome, she's already planned certain things, whether it's sporting things, wiffle ball challenges, golf targets, a punt challenge, basketball challenge, which I won't probably do. Garrett's good at basketball, I'm not. All these other things, like they're full-blown having games. To subsidize some of the cost, I believe it's going to be very minor things like a ticket, a small ticket price to participate in these things. She's going to line up food trucks there, this, that, and the other. We're organizing a touch-a-truck event. We've already gotten confirmation along with us from Kendall County Sheriff's Office, Oswego PD, and Bristol Kendall, and an invite was put out to Oswego Fire. The reason for branching out, speaking to Justine, she said most of the youth they service are Yorkville and Oswego kids. Oswego already has a premise alert or a citizens at risk program as well, and Kendall's looking to have one, but Kendall also has a really unique thing in the fact that they've got a bloodhound dog, which, you know, missing person tracking, that's what bloodhounds are for. They've got scent jars. So I was talking to one of my friends that puts on autism training through another department that helped us form our curriculum, and he actually did our autism training the other month, and he goes, I said, if I'm going to buy something for my program, what should it be? And he goes, better the next thing I'm buying is scent jars. I'm like, I know a way to get them for free. So he's like, well, that's cool. So we're going to have Kendall County come out to the event and do everything such as that. So that's where we're at with it. It's super exciting. I think the event is really going to take off and only help relationships. And it's really a contagious thing, this program, from what I've seen, is because people see that it's working in our department. And it's not just something, well, oh, this is what Chief and Bear and Garrett want. No, they've seen for themselves. These simple steps help. So,
you know, the calls for service that we go on, part of the reason we want to get Oswego involved, Kendall County involved, and the fire departments, we're all dealing with the same types of calls for service. In some cases, we're dealing with the same families. You know, county's dealing with same families as Oswego, and we are with county and as well as Oswego. So if the more people we can get into this, and the more times that somebody who is, whether on the spectrum or not, sees a uniform and they kind of recognize whether it's county or Oswego or Yorkville, it doesn't matter. When they're having an episode and they see the uniform, hopefully that can bring them down just a level so that we can actually communicate, work with, and talk with to get them the help that they need. So, it, you know, it's kind of a, and we didn't know this when we started putting it all together, that it's part of the police reform package. It really is. When you look at police reform, this is what it's about. And so, very excited. These two guys have done a ton of work with their team, and just there's some good things being done, which is really nice to see. So,
well done, gentlemen.
So that's our 6 month update.
I'm very proud of you guys because
thank you.
I've been there with a kid,
absolutely.
And who's 28 now, and back 20 years ago, nobody believed us. Yeah. Nobody knew what he could do, and so it's just the education to educate people who've never come in touch, you know, with someone who is bipolar or has autism. That is just such a component, yeah, right there, that you go there and you go, oh, okay, you know. You know, especially autism, these kids are quirkier, and it's just their thing.
Yeah.
But it was difficult, you know, raising just children.
To have
that
the skills
way.
To recognize that, and to have some sort of game plan on how to successfully communicate with folks, that's huge.
And it's
know?
Also to make aware for, like, a compassionate side of what a family goes through, what, you know, to raise a child like that.
Absolutely.
You know, if you have one person has a little bit of that, or little, you know, a lot of people have perfect families or perfect kids. They're, you know, oh God, there's that kid again. Well, no, that isn't what you should be thinking. So you're training people to react better, and that I'm very proud of you guys.
Thank you. One of the really cool things when I reached out to Justine is she's like, so they're the Brummels, so they're a farming family, and they
I
go,
know her. She's
they go.
Great.
She's like, well, you know, we want to do like a beef raffle, and they were selling tickets to this event. I'm like, okay. She's like, we want to bring some of like the proceeds and donate to you guys. I said, Justine, if it's laid on your heart to make any kind of donation to the police department, it's going to our car program. Like, we will find a way to incorporate it to whatever. Like, this is what it's all about. And she's like, well, I just saw what you guys have done for Special Olympics. And it's like, not to brag on our guys, but to brag on our guys. When we did the polar plunge this year, it was a COVID polar plunge where they said, plunge at home, do this, that, or the other. Half of our department plunged, and we raised, I think, close to $3,500. 16 participants came out, and it was like, this is just, this is what our officers enjoy. Like, this is their passion. It's contagious. It really is. Yeah. So
they're a neat family.
They are.
And her special needs son is a dad.
He's awesome.
I would love to see him. He's been for so long. I'm sure he's growing up.
Come to the event, Jackie.
I should. He was at Circle Center, and he was just a sweetie.
So, yeah. But we're excited. So.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. That's our goal, is to just continue to reach families. You know, one of the things that we're challenging ourselves with are, what we're seeing is that we have good families that sign up for our CAR program. It's the proactive families where there's a network already there for these young kids. What our challenge is now is to, how do we tap into our citizens here that maybe don't have as good a network and aren't as proactive in reaching out to us, you know, and we're hoping with events like this and kind of just continuing to try to get in the community, we can get to some of our younger guys that still need the help, but they're not as proactive in reaching out to us, you know, because I don't want us to drop the ball. You know, a lot of these families are great families, and we're happy to help. I want to get into the ones where the kids maybe don't have as good a structure at home, mm-hmm, as others do, you know, and that would hopefully be the next kind of phase.
Have you ever, you know, I don't know if you've gone into talked with the district with their special ed?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if you can let us know.
They could tell you.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know, they could give you. Probably could identify those children very easily.
What they could probably do is identify the families that the police have this. I don't think they can tell the police that these are our special ed kids and they have these problems.
Right, it could be the reverse.
They could certainly, you guys can work in coordination with the school
district. Because I'm sure some of the special ed teachers, especially as the kids get older.
Yeah, one of the things I actually wrote down here in the notes is back to school with the CIT and CAR program, getting with some of these kids, because a lot of these kids, they're schedule driven. And so when they go back to school, that's kind of a tense time for not only the kids, but the families.
Right.
So is there something we can do, maybe with the school district? It's a great
and this
idea.
Year is going to be
it's going to be even, it's
worse,
gonna be even
because
worse.
Maybe some of these kids weren't in for the year.
Right, they were
exactly.
Out of school. Right.
So they've had almost a year and a half of constant schedule at home, and now it's going to change. How can we alleviate some of that stress and anxiety?
I think the district did try to have as many of those possible in attendance.
They did. Yorkville was really good. Tim and
but
I
now Oswego wasn't in for a haul at all.
Yeah.
So
we can release some of that anxiety before the kids go to school, you know, a week or two or three beforehand, and start working with them, because frankly we deal with the calls when the anxiety level is there. We're dealing with the calls, so let's get ahead of it, you know. And yeah, it helps us out, but also helps the families out and the child.
I think it's important with the kids to get started at a young age when they have mental health problems or they are autistic, just to establish that pattern of, we're here to help, you know?
Yeah.
I think the harder problem you guys are going to have are with older adults, 25, 30 years old, who've had bad encounters with law enforcement.
Yes.
And breaking down that barrier they put up, that is where you're going to have a real challenge. So.
Yeah.
100%. Good luck to you on that, because that's going to
be one of the
harder, easier said than done. So
one of the things that we start with is that we kind of we'll just say, look, you're not going to lock eyes with somebody that doesn't matter. You know, and I think folks sometimes think that that's how the police view them. And that's where we kind of started with this. We're like, look, I can't change what's happened to you in the past 30-some-odd years, but I can change this interaction.
Yep.
You know, and that's what we really tried to preach with this. And then when guys start applying it, it just, you know, I have one lady say, you know what? I hate the police. I don't like the police. If that bothers you, you need to get another job or thick your skin, then that's what it is. You know, so we come in here and tell you all these great stories. It doesn't work every time. It doesn't. But for the most part, you know, it's working, you know.
You know, you might think it doesn't work. You might not see it, but you've put a thought out.
Yeah, you just kind of seed.
You planted that seed.
Yeah.
So you might... You should never feel like it didn't know that, but you don't know.
Yeah, but that didn't go the way I planned it, but,
yeah,
you know.
You don't know.
So.
You just don't know later. You know, they de-escalate and start thinking.
That's right.
Thank
it's
you.
One contact at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Awesome. Thank you all for your time.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right,
see you guys later.
Have a good night, you guys. Thank you.
Good night.
You
take care.
So next we have PS 2021-14, the monthly report review for February through May of 2021.
Yep. So I know you guys have all four copies. I typically kind of go through each page of it and just kind of highlight some of the things. What I'm going to do is kind of go through really quick the February, March, and April, and then I've kind of totaled up some things for the month of May, just because, you know, from February, the numbers are going to be, you know, totally changed.
Sure.
Some of the items you're going to see here, COVID really had an impact. When you start talking about March, our calls for service plummeted. Our traffic stops plummeted. Crime plummeted, which is really a good thing. COVID wasn't such a good thing, but now you're starting to see, or you're going to start seeing, you know, we're up almost 1,900 calls or incidences that we track. And a large part of it is because now we don't have to necessarily deal with COVID. So going over some things from the February monthly report, I'm going to touch a little bit on the employees. We're 41 employees in February of 2020, 41 in 21. You're going to see some change in that as we get through. You know, we obviously had a retirement of Sergeant Jelinewski. We had three officers hired. We no longer have a part-time police officer program. We actually have the program, but we no longer have part-time police officers. While we had officers here for a very long time that were part-time and very good people, the training standards today that you have for an officer and the calls that they're going to handle, having a part-time police officer that doesn't get that same type of training that our full-time guys get is really problematic in our minds. And, you know, there's some pretty severe liability that could go along with that. When we talk overtime, you're going to see always in the overtime hours worked, you're going to see court time. That's stuff that we can't do anything necessarily about. You're going to see HIDA CPAT, HIDA CIT. Keep in mind that those overtime accounts are all reimbursable. So if I spend $5,000 in HIDA overtime for CIT, I get $5,000 reimbursed back. You're going to go into the community relations or the community policing initiatives in the different meetings, and you're going to see a lot of pictures, a lot of cool dog pictures, and it amazes me how people love animals, I think, more than they love people. It is crazy.
That's true, and bloodhounds are just wonderful.
Yep, I'm with you.
They were at work training not too long ago, and I'm like... Can I please pet your bloodhound?
Yep.
They had three of them.
Oh, my gosh.
They go, wait, we're going to have two more come through. I don't know who all was training, but they actually had a little kid in our parking lot because we had bushes, and they had him sitting on a picnic bench there, and they were having the bloodhound search for this little guy who was like 3 and just loving it. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's the height there, look at him.
It's crazy.
They're great dogs. All the dogs.
You go somewhere, if we go somewhere, if we had a canine, they would rather see the animal than see the officer. Yep. It's kind of nuts.
Are you guys going to get another canine sometime soon? No.
I have no desire to bring a canine to the police department. There, while it really can do some good things, we have resources around us that can I can get those services, number one. But number two is then you pull somebody out from the street and the amount of training that they have on a monthly basis, the amount of time they have to take care of the animal on a monthly basis. And then when you're training and doing all of the training you're doing, because you're relying on some other agencies, you also have to assist them. And so if I'm paying for an officer and the canine here in Yorkville, you guys are paying for it and authorizing it, but they're only here 50% of the time. Is the city really getting its money's worth? And, you know, I would rather focus more on other programs, community relation programs that I think I can get more bang for my buck, so to speak.
The sheriff always has one on duty, right? They've always got a canine.
Not always on duty. Okay. But the nice thing is between Aurora, King County, Kendall County, and other cities around, we haven't really found a time where we don't have access to a dog if we need it. Are there times? Yeah, there are times where it'll probably be difficult. But for the most part, usually in the afternoons and nights, which is when you would need them, we have access to the dog. So, yeah. So our total training hours for February, 398. February was a busy month for traffic crashes. We had 54 of the 4 months there. You're going to see it going from 54 all the way down to like 30, 35, which is more of a normal month, so to speak.
Does it probably come up? Our 126, Route 47, what's happening with that?
So 126 and 47, you're still going to see the crashes that are happening. It's not daily, but they are always in the top two locations there. So we've worked with the state to get a little extra. There's a sign added there that has kind of reduced some of the calls that we get there, but until you really change the entire landscape along there, it's very difficult. And I find myself the other day, you know, and I'm very familiar with that intersection. I find myself turning right, making sure that car is gone before I even start looking left. Mm-hmm. And I'm very familiar with that intersection. So people who really aren't or are just in a hurry, they're not paying attention. The good thing is they're minor crashes.
Yeah.
While they're crashes and you don't want to have that, they are minor crashes, which is good. So I'm going to jump ahead to the offense summary reports for Part 1 and Part 2 crimes. You're going to see that we've had an increase of 15 Part 1 type crimes, Part 1 crimes. Matthew, for the those are the more serious types of crimes that we deal with and the reports that we take. We were 15 additional when you compare February of 20 to February of 21. Really the difference there is your insurance, your theft, your fraud in cases. We were taking reports report after report after report after report for identity and the unemployment. Yeah, me too. For the unemployment type stuff. Now the Illinois Department of Insurance with the state, they're investigating all those cases. We don't even take police reports. We refer people to the website. We will help them get on the website, fill out the paperwork. They submit it to the Department of Insurance. If we take a report, we're closing it because we don't, trying to figure out where that's coming from we have no way of doing that. So, and then you go to Part 2 crimes. You know, the good thing is we're minus 8 in Part 2 crimes, which is good when you compare the months. And you're going to start seeing, let me jump back a little bit, crisis intervention calls. You know, there's 10 intervention calls and 14 citizen at risk registrations. And then our calls for service, you're going to see for January, we're up 106. And our February, we're up 18 calls for service. So those are all incidents. And you're going to start seeing in the next few months, gas prices, the cost of, we track by miles, how much of how many gallons we have, what does it cost based on maintenance. The good thing is our maintenance has been pretty steady, which is great because our fleet is, we're in good shape with our fleet. We are very good with our fleet. That also keeps the maintenance costs down, but gas prices now jump from, $1.90 to, $3.19, $3.35. you know, a gallon. So you're going to see some pretty significant increases there. Jumping through March real quick, just want to point out a few things. Of the 143 hours of overtime, 88.5 were HIDA overtime. So you're going to see, all that's reimbursed. When you jump to traffic enforcement, you're going to see up from March for citations. You're also going to see a significant increase in written warnings. I think looking at pass on that you guys get every single day, you find that a ship may make 10 stops, but they're writing 9 written warnings. The only time they really write a ticket is when there is a, when there's an arrestable offense that goes with it, or frankly, somebody's just flying down the road. There's a lot of talk amongst my peers. Well, write more tickets, and you can fund more programs. It doesn't work that way. I know that's how it used to be. Well, and we'll still get it from people on the street. We'll write more tickets. That's why you're buying this building, because you're writing more tickets. We get so little money from the state on tickets. And, our goal is, again, voluntary compliance with things.
Everyone's got their hand in the pot when it comes to tickets.
Absolutely. And, frankly, yeah, you can write a bunch of tickets, but all you're doing is upsetting your residents. When we talk about, your subdivision and people speeding through a subdivision, it's not people from the outside. It's people from the subdivision.
Yeah.
So, that's where you got to try to focus on a lot of, interaction with the subdivision, whether it's through the HOA, whether it's through newsletters, whether it's through social media, to try to get people to say, hey, we're out here. We can write them if you want. If you really want me to hit your subdivision, I'll hit it. But understand, that means people are going to be getting tickets. So if you want me to do that, I'll do that and kind of put it back on them. And, in some cases, they're absolutely, yes, hit it, right? But again, we try to work with them. So if it's okay, I'm going to jump over to May and kind of hit that, unless you guys have questions. So going over the month of May and then the overall total for overtime, you're going to see 287.5 hours of total overtime of the 506.5 from January through the end of May is all reimbursed overtime. We had 14 hours of training during the month of May. We have training every single month. That's contractual. So our officers get paid to attend training, up to a certain amount of time. So that's contractual. We do the best we can to try to limit the amount of overtime that's out there. Obviously, a call for service, there's just certain things I can't limit. We had a person that didn't show up for an appointment today. We were called at 5 o'clock. She was deceased in her home, and so that day shift, they're going to be stuck there for an hour or two, and that's just the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the business that we do. Some of the community policing initiatives, we have a picture of Kendall Watkins. He was our intern from Yorkville, went to ISU. He is now since done in the program. We have worked him through the entire program. We've sat down and talked with him about the hiring process. We've looked at his resume. We are looking to show him the entire testing process. So when he gets done with us, our goal is to bring him back here. And I think we're going to have a pretty good shot at bringing him back because I think he really had a good time here. But I want him to get a job somewhere because that's what he wants. And so we go over the entire testing process with him. So we have a new intern, Matthew Myers, started last week. He's also from Illinois State. He's from Oswego. So you guys will see him at the next board meeting. We'll introduce him and his family, bringing them, and they're part of our family. So I think it's just important to bring them out. And there's also a picture of our three officers who were hired in January but went to the academy, and then we had the official ceremonial in April for them. There's also pictures of Police Week. I'm sure if you've been here a while, you probably know. I'm not sure if you know or not, Matthew, but so Officer Kalowski, Tim Kalowski, he's an officer here with us. His father died in the line of duty many years ago. So he is, he's on the memorial wall for the Kendall County Law Enforcement Memorial. There's two people on here for Kendall County. Tim's father's one of them. So we really kind of focus on Police Week, for that, internally, because it's affected us. Tim was just a young man. He was pretty young when his father passed. So then we get into the training program. You're going to see a sharp increase in training for the month of May. So February, we had 398 hours. March we had 415, April we had 464, and the month of May we had 2,058. We included the training hours in there that our new recruits had at the police academy. They attended that training. It's training that they have to go to. So we're tracking that training. But you've also seen a general increase in the types of training. We are really trying to focus on training instructor or training people to be instructors. So it's kind of a train the trainer course. So if we have certain types of maybe hand-to-hand techniques, whether it's response to resistance, use of force type of things, whether it's a firearms, whether it's a rapid deployment type thing, we are trying to find classes that I can send Seaver to, because now Seaver can come back and train the rest of us instead of us having to send 32 sworn officers to this training that's cost $500 per person to send it to. So you're going to see a lot more focus on train the trainer type courses so that we can train. And the good thing is we have relationships with area law enforcement that we're going to be looking. Dwight, Jeff Bergner, myself have met, and John Huell from Plano. We are going to be looking to train their department in the same response to resistance techniques that we have. We're going to use the same training, the same curriculum. So if I have three or four people that were on vacation during the month and they can't, you know, they missed our training, they can now go to Oswego and get it, Plano and get it, county and get it. It's not costing us any money, and we're utilizing the resources countywide. We're also going to look to mirror policy. So with the police reform bill, there's been a lot of changes to response to resistance, as an example, pursuit policy. How we handle pursuit should be no, or use of force should be no different than how the county is. I can tell you right now, our policies mirror Bartlett, Plainfield, Oswego. They're all nationally accredited. Our response to resistance policy mirrors them. I stole it from them and copied it. Okay? So we have mirrored them. The county is very, very close. When you talk about the types of calls we go on, we handle the same calls, same people. County's a lot of times backing us up. I don't want them doing something that they shouldn't do, just like they would want us to do something they shouldn't do. So that's, you're going to see a big focus of that coming with us. And then I think once we get into, I would say probably March of this next year, I'll probably be discussing accreditation with you guys, where we're actually going to sign the contract with the state of Illinois for Illinois law enforcement accreditation. I know we've talked about that when you were the chairman of it. And so that's training. Our crashes, we had 37 during the month of May. We had the lowest we had over the last 4 months were April. We had 30, which is pretty consistent. In the 30s, pretty consistent with a lot of things. It's kind of frustrating, though, because if you look a little further on in the report, you see how many hours that we spend on Route 47, 47 downtown, 34. A lot of our crashes are on the major highways. We are spending, at one point, total time spent just on Route 47, 47.6 hours. You hope that the more time you spend, you're seeing a reduction in the types of crimes. The problem is they're spread out at different spots on 47. It's not all the same spot. Yeah. So, you know, it's frustrating on our end because I want to try to reduce crashes in a certain area. And at some point, just not sure even how to get there if I can't determine the main spot for the crash, 126 and 47. I can sit there all day long, right? As soon as I leave, that's when people are going to be doing the rear-ending. So you can see there are certain things that are just straight engineering issues that we run into. So, and then cruising over to the traffic enforcement for the month of May, you can really see we had just in the amount of citations, there were 45 in May of 2020 and 55 in 2021. But then the big difference is the written warnings there. You know, COVID was in May of 2020. We had 251 written warnings. We had 394 in May of 2021. So our guys are out there doing a lot of traffic. Jumping over to the crime reports. So you're going to see a pretty significant increase in the amount of total reports taken, criminal reports, non-criminal reports. And we're really tying that to two things. So we previously tracked private property crashes. We didn't necessarily track in our reporting. However, we are taking reports for some of those. So we are now starting to track that. So some of the reports that we're getting, some of the increases, we're tracking the private property crashes in there. It's a short form. It's not a state crash report. But we're spending time doing those things in there. And so also trying to track certain things. Are we having problems in the Jewel lot or the Target lot or the Home Depot lot or wherever the private property crash occurred? So you're going to see a little bit of an increase there. And just in general, when you look at our overall calls, you're going to see that, let me jump ahead to that, that our calls for service, we are up 1,190 calls from January through May from 20 to 21. So we're up almost 1,200. I said 1,900, right? It was 1,190. So almost 1,200 different calls for service. So when you increase that much, obviously you're going to have an increase in some of the reports. But the good news is our offense summary for Part 1 crimes, when you look at our May 2020 to compare to 2021, we're only increased by one. And the increase really is in theft reports. They're not in murder, sex crimes, robbery, which is great news. But we're also minus three in Part 2 crimes. And overall, we're below our numbers last year in Part 1 and Part 2 crimes, which is good. So that's where the crime rates determine the crime index based on our population. And, you know, I think that's what when people look to come to Yorkville, they look for schools and they want to know if it's safe. So that's huge. That's huge. And finally, the last thing is our squad operations expense. You're going to see that our maintenance expense for the month of May was $1,500, which is awesome. But then you got gasoline's a buck more than what it was, you know, previously. So, you know, you're going to offset some of those savings. Questions?
You're not paying the state's attorney's office for Officer Key Day training, are you?
No.
Okay.
I would hope not. We can have a talk off the record. Yeah. I just got the disc today that they put out some training for the new police reform bill.
The state's attorney's office is doing it?
Yeah. Mark Schliffka did a really nice job narrating it and putting some of the laws in there. And so I'm glad Eric's, I will say our county is well ahead of other counties in doing that. I mean, they communicate fantastic with us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's informational, right? It doesn't go to the full council?
Correct.
So we move on to PS 2021-15, adjudication reports for March through June 2021.
So there's a lot of the, you guys kind of hear me to say the same thing about these reports. A lot of them are the same. So what I'm going to do is highlight some of the things that when I look at the reports, that's not normal. So on the docket for March 1st of 2021, you're going to see several parking after 2-inch snowfalls. I will say we don't typically write people for that. However, as many snowstorms as we've had, as many warnings as we've given, as many times as we've gotten out of the car and asked people to move their car, and as many phone calls as we've gotten from people because their mailbox is not getting plowed because the cars are around it and snow is piling up, we've just got certain areas that we just have to start getting tickets. And the guys, I think, were so frustrated with a couple of these areas that they just went and hit the areas. So I can't necessarily blame them. I mean, it's parked at the entrance to every subdivision. And it's on the streets. And I can't believe people could say they didn't know, but I know there are some people that are saying it. So the good thing is of all the snowstorms we've had, I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 8 tickets that were written. So, and then on the second page, I should say on March 8th, we had expired registration. So this is one where I kind of highlighted, we don't typically write expired registration tickets for cars that are parked on the roadways. Keep in mind, if you're parked on the road, your license, your registration has to be valid, your tires have to be up, you gotta have your engine in the car. You're supposed to have a car that's functioning parked on the road. So obviously there were some tickets written that cars weren't necessarily functioning. And you give people some warnings, and sometimes they heed the warning and sometimes they don't. So those were a couple different ones that we're not used to seeing. You're going to see a lot of impounded vehicles. You're going to see a lot of cannabis tickets. They have cannabis. They're smoking in the car when they're driving. That's where some of those come from. Or they're underage. Or they are parked at a park, smoking dope with the car parked and the car off. That actually happens. When you guys see pass on, it happens quite a bit, actually. Jumping over to March 22nd, there's a couple more snowfall or snow parking tickets. And let's see, jumping into the month of April, there was a couple curfew violation tickets that we write. Curfew is kind of tricky because when I stop somebody that's a minor out past curfew, you can't just let them go. If you let them go and something happens to them on the way home, liability could shift to the police department. So I will tell you that we had three kids that we turned them over to their parents. They were issued ordinance tickets for curfew. We're not arresting kids. We're not handcuffing them. We turned them over. One of the parents actually called and said, you know, what can my kid do? He needs to understand that he wasted your guys' time. We just had him over here. He washed and waxed three of our cars.
Good.
And we got to pray on Saturday, right? So he washed and waxed. And the parents were absolutely phenomenal. Now, we typically don't do that, but this person that we know very well in town is really wanting to send a message for things. And you know, when you have a parent that is that proactive and wanting to send a message, I just think it's important. And the kid's just a great kid. I looked at him. I said, well, you just got caught. And he goes, I know. He goes, I've never done it before. Because I'm so much better than my friends, though. And I believe it. After talking to the kid, I believe it. So, going into May's, you're going to see at the May 10th, there were four tickets issued to the same person. That was a car that was not operational, parked on the road, multiple warnings given, and then tow stickers were put on the side so the person can't say that they didn't know it was there. And the person didn't come into court and still hasn't paid the tickets and is in collections now. And that's about it, unless you have questions.
Anyone have questions?
No.
I think that is informational as well.
Yep.
Then we move on to the CIT. PS 2021-17, the selection of committee liaisons. My understanding that is the school board liaison from the public safety committee.
I'll volunteer unless anybody else wants it.
I already agreed, not in writing, and clearly not on any type of record, to switch with Alderman Milchewski.
I'm
a lawyer. That's going to hold up in court. It wasn't me. Yes, I have volunteered to be the school board liaison for this coming year or 2 years, however it shakes out. So I don't think we need to move that to City Council, do we?
Nope.
Nope. So that's approved by committee. We need a vote on Alderman Trancier volunteering for liaison to school board. Any nays in the house tonight? No? All right. Yeah. The yays have it.
And thank you for that clap.
Oh, no. Thank you.
Tried to give you a reprieve, Dan.
That's okay. I can handle it. Especially since my kids don't go to the school district, you know. I mean, I really can't complain to them. You're messing my kids' life up. So on we go to 2021-18, meeting dates.
She was their worst nightmare.
Exactly. I'm glad you said it, not me. Just let that be known for the record. I did not say Chris.
No, I tell him that all the time.
Yeah.
If he was here, I'd look at him and shake my head yes. But
we can... Wasn't it determined that we can appoint one without their consent, so we could send?
Yeah, weren't we trying to?
Yeah, because I sent Carlo to the library board. Yeah, and Bart said you can do that. Oh, Chris has enough on his plate, I imagine.
He doesn't want to go back there.
And Jackie would hear about it every day.
I would.
Why ruin two lives?
Yeah.
And I think last but not least is PS 2021-18. Do we want to keep the dates as we've had in the past?
We're doing.
I'm good except for September 2nd. So.
Yeah, isn't that a holiday? Are we gonna? We're still doing our every other month, or we're planning for bi-monthly? Okay, I see it. Yeah. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to me.
I don't. That doesn't need to be forwarded either, right?
No.
Nope.
No. Nothing's coming out of here.
Yeah. No report then, huh?
No report.
Any agenda here. Any additional business?
Got a couple of things, just updates, in case you heard. Obviously, we were there was a press release put out with the water park. Been working with the water park owners over there. They have been, they're awesome to work with. And I feel really bad for them because they're trying so hard. We were dispatched for a rather large fight in the park, and they broke the initial fight up, and they were walking four people out.
Yeah.
And as they were walking them out, the other group came up and actually above the over the shoulder of the security guard punched somebody else in the face. And so we met with them, and we are really trying to work with them. Some of the things that, you know, when you just talk to them and what they're facing, I mean, there's people, human feces in the parking lot that some of these families decide to do. But this is not a City of Yorkville issue or even Raging Waves issue. This is a nationwide issue. And talking with them, there's been a lot more violence in other water parks from around the country for whatever reason, and nobody really knows. So we are really trying to work with them on making sure that they have their security, you know, up to speed. They have enough security there. And, you know, we're moving. Trying to do some things on our end. We're doing more foot patrols, have a squad up there.
Do they have cameras in their parking lot at all? Or
that's a great question, and I don't know the answer. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they put dummy cameras up in my
Might help a little bit. So so that's the first thing. Second thing, 4th of July. We are set and ready to go for the 4th of July. The operational plan is all out. I know Sam Strop will be running day shift. Bear and I will also be in. Part of our commitment as command is we will always have one or two command officers at every larger event, you know, in town. You can't just leave it to the sergeants to handle calls for service in the major event. It's not right. It's not fair. And this is a way for us to help. So we will be there for the 4th of July, and then fireworks at nighttime. National Night Out is in August. I believe it's August 4th. I'd have to verify. I'll send that out to everybody. So we're going to be working with Tim and his staff, kind of doing something a little similar to what we did last year. We had a really good turnout last year, even though it was COVID year. So, and then questions on the building. If you guys have questions and you've looked at the things, if you have questions, I'll take them and go from there. I can speak to the police department side. Not touching anything else. So, but if you have them, I'll take them. Or if you want to walk through it, just let me know. And I can meet with you and go from there. That's all I have.
Anyone else? Anything additional?
No.
Then I think we can adjourn.
All right.
It's 6:58.